good to be here, isn't it? It really is good to be here. I know. I say it regularly, but it is good to be here. It's good to gather. It's good to come into God's presence. It's good to sing praises to God. It's good to open God's word. It's good to bring our prayers before God. And at Christmas, I think that gathering is even more intense for the message that we bring and the message that we reflect on. Would you agree? It's good to gather, isn't it? It's good to be here. And that good to be here should overflow with a sense of joy and a sense of passion and a sense of excitement for what God's doing in this place. You excited about what God's doing here today? Are you excited that God has gone before and God has prepared this moment for his will to be known and done? Yeah. Are you full of joy? Good. Well, let's look at what that joy means. Not so sure about that. Yeah. At Christmas, in fact, all of Scripture helps reframe things. And what I mean by that, it gives a different spin, a different understanding how we interpret certain incidences, certain words, certain phrases. It just sheds a whole new light on the way we see things, the way we understand things, the way we practice things. If Scripture doesn't change the way we behave, if it doesn't change who we are, then it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. After all, it's God's living word speaking into our lives. This is God speaking to us, corporately, individually. And if God's words, God speaking to us, doesn't change us, then I think we have no hope. We have no hope, no joy, no peace. We have nothing. If it's not for what God brings to us and what God gives us. Is that true? Is that a fair way to frame up life? Good. Well, as we've journeyed to Christmas, we've talked about love. We've talked about God's love being evident in his scriptures. And we've talked about a love which is intimate. We've talked about a love which is gracious. We've talked about love that is forgiving. We've talked about love that provides promise. And we've talked about a faithful love. That's the way God loves. Just want to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of people use this for weddings. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth because it was falling apart. It was broken. It didn't know how to love, in short. And this is what he says love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand of its own way. Love is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and love endures through every circumstance. John says, the Apostle John says, God is love. And this definition of love helps to shape up what love is about. Love from a world's perspective is about me or about you. But when we see love in a God-framed way, love is about the other. Love is patient, love is kind. It's all those things that outward feelings or emotions, actions, however you like to describe it, towards another. An individual or a group. And God's love, this kind of love, came down at Christmas and was poured out for all humanity. Good news? Yeah. More than just good news. More than just good news. We see that love that caused God to send his son. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world that whoever believes in him should not perish. Didn't come into the world to condemn the world because that love is gentle and kind and patient, holds no wrong. So Christmas comes at a time where God's love is made known through drawing close. We talked about love. We talked about hope. Hope which is framed up from a biblical perspective is not a hope which is weak and flimsy. I hope it doesn't rain this afternoon. Well, if you live in Melbourne, there's a good chance you're going to be disappointed. No matter what the Bureau of Meteorology tells you, there's a good chance if you hope for something in the weather, it's going to let you down. But if you hope in God's promises, it will never fail. For God is always faithful and always true. So when you think of love like Paul writes to the Corinthians. When you think of hope that is trustworthy and faithful to the nth degree. It's a hope that is certain and sure because it doesn't belong in me or in you. It belongs in what God offers and what God gives and what God says and what God does. It's unbreakable. You know, one of the foundational things for the Christian is we have hope. Hope for a future. Hope in restoration. Hope in resurrection. Hope in life eternal. So when you come to Christmas and you think of love and hope, these are distinctly different to the love and the hope that the world would offer. Yep, we're on joy today. We'll get there. Then we talk about peace. And the type of peace that God offers, again, is distinctly different to the peace that we would yearn for from a human perspective. You know, I don't know who said it, but somebody said, and we're getting onto joy a little bit, you know, everybody brings joy, some when they come and some when they go. As grandparents, it is nice to have peace when the kids go sometimes, isn't it? But you know, this is not the peace that God is offering. That's a temporary peace, because I can guarantee when they come back next time, it's not going to be that peace and quiet. The peace that God offers, the peace that is on offer at Christmas, is a peace that enables us to be restored to God. A peace that wipes away all enmity between us and God the Creator. We talked about sin that broke the relationship, that man and woman turned their backs on God, and the trust that we had as we walked closely with God in the Garden of Eden was eroded in a moment. And at Christmas, God offers us peace that restores that relationship for all eternity, for all people, only through the person that is born. Only through a relationship with Jesus is that hope, that love, and that peace fully offered. It's different, isn't it? Peace that endures for all eternity. That's what's on offer. Not a temporary peace, not a fragile peace, not a peace that is dependent on what we can do or say, but a peace on what God has done, is doing, and promises to continue to do. Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I think so. Then we get to joy. Joy. You've got to help me out here. What brings you joy? If you don't start offering, I'm going to ask. All right? So what gives you joy? Caleb?
Peace,
thanks. Don't you hate it? Should never have gone there. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have done that. All right, Margaret, come on. What gives you joy?
Grandchildren.
Yep, yeah, Margaret? There's another Margaret. What gives you joy?
Waking up.
Waking up, yeah? I know. What other things brings people joy? Hang on. Adrian? Sorry? That he saved a sinner like you. Yeah, we can all say that. That's good. That is joy. Yep. Yeah, I'm getting a few nodding heads here. What else?
Misty, rainy days.
Don't you just love a misty, rainy day? When you want to mow the lawn or hang your washing out. See, it's kind of a little bit framed up by what you want, this joy, isn't it? Come on, give me another joy that I can pick to pieces. Yes, Doug? A what? Yeah, garden in springtime, when all the flowers start dropping, you've got to sweep the path a dozen times. And the bees are there that they sting you. No, I get it. I get it. No, see, I love spring too, and I love misty, rainy days. Don't think I'm being... Come on, another joy. I just want one more joy that I can pull to pieces.
Joy McMorris.
Joy... Well, you know what? Yeah, well, she's not even here. When you need her most, there's no joy in the place. You know, and I said that to her during the week.
I said, Joy, what are you doing?
Did she care? No, she had family commitments. So we're without Joy and her family's got Joy. Last one down the front. A breeze on the top of the mountain that cools your neck. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can't pull it apart because I like it too much, you know. I'm sure there's somebody here that doesn't like the top of the mountain on a breezy day, but we won't ask you to put your hand up. It does your hair in, yeah, I know, you know. You're having that really good hair day and you get up on the mountain, the wind picks up and it's all gone. Yeah, I know. You just... See, what I'm trying to say here is joy for us. We've all got these wonderful joys and they mean so much, but they are about us and they are so fragile. And, you know, what brings you joy might not bring someone else joy. And what brought you joy today brings you no joy tomorrow. What the angel says here is joy for all people. And it's not dependent on you or me or anything else. And the angel actually talks about what makes this joy such great joy. It's good, isn't it? It's good. Because the joy is not dependent on the way I feel. The joy is not dependent on the way you feel. Joy is dependent on what God has done and what God has promised. Three things the angel says. I bring you good news, picking this up in chapter 2 of Luke, in verse 10. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. First, the Saviour. The Saviour is born. This is instrumental in why we have joy. Has anybody needed a Saviour? I can't think of how many times I've needed a Saviour. I'm not sure whether it was the time I was drowning in the middle of the Goulburn River at Molesworth. I wasn't drowning. I was just stuck on a tree out in the middle of the... And some canoeists came past and rescued me. That was good. When I was upside down in a fish pond with my feet sticking in the air, I needed saving. Yeah, that was good too. There's probably lots of other times I've needed saving. And it's just good to have a saviour, isn't it? Isn't it? You ever been in a spot where you needed saving? You know, swept out to sea? I don't know what your saving moment is. But you know what? Those things are incidental when it comes to what this angel is pronouncing in terms of a saviour. One who will save us from our sins and restore our relationship with God. This is the saviour we're talking about. No wonder there's joy in the words of the angel. Don't be afraid, because I've got a message that's wonderful, great news. Tidings of great joy, because a Saviour has been born. Well, for them in their mind, they were looking for a Saviour, someone to restore them to a relationship with God, someone that would forgive their sins. And when they hear these words and the angel says a Saviour is born, what news? There could be nothing better than to be saved and restored to a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. So that's one thing that's on offer with the joy at Christmas. A Saviour has been born. Ah, but now let's see. See, not any Saviour will do. You know, we've got lots of options down at the supermarket, haven't we? You've got this milk, you've got that milk, these eggs, those eggs, chicken-friendly eggs, not so chicken-friendly eggs. All these things that are on offer, okay? So let's just make it a little bit clearer. So we've got a Saviour, someone that's going to save us from our sins. Who is this Saviour? Got to get the right brand, or it just might not do the job. The angel says, not only is a Saviour born, but the Messiah, or in the Greek, Christ. So you've got this one that's anointed, chosen by God. It's not just someone that's woke up in the morning with their really good hair that's ready for the mountaintop. A spring morning with all the flowers and says, I'm the Saviour of the world. It's not that person. It's actually the one that God has come and taken. He's come himself and been born. This Saviour is the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one of God. How's that for a a hallmark or a brand name provided by God of all creation. Pretty good. Pretty good, I think, you know. You're not going to have any complaints. There's going to be no sending it back to the manufacturer. It's not like me with the phone on it with Telstra that took me, I don't know how many weeks. We finally got our phone. We finally got our internet. They gave us 3 months free phone. They've given Leslie a whole heap of data, which doesn't mean anything to us. But you know, there was no need to argue the case with God, because God provides us with great joy. Great joy. Joy because a Saviour is born, someone that will enable us to have a relationship restored with God, and this one is God's appointed chosen one. Well, again, that had lots of connotations for them, because back in the Old Testament, their Bible, God himself was the one that was the Saviour for his people. In a number of places, God is noted as being trustworthy and the Saviour of his people. And as they recount their story of being chosen, being rescued, being given the promised land, being exiled, and then coming back, they recognise God as their Saviour and as their Messiah. The chosen one is God himself. It's pretty good, isn't it? But that's not only what he does. Not only is he the Saviour, but he's also the Messiah, but he's also the Lord. The Lord. God himself is coming. Pretty good sort of information to get, isn't it? Great joy, because this day in Bethlehem is born a Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord. God himself has come in order to enable all that Christ will do. In the New Testament, the early disciples take hold of this language of Messiah and of Lord, and that become, you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, which is Messiah, God's anointed one. Jesus Christ, Saviour. We see as he's born, so we've got to take him out of the manger. We've got to give him time to grow up. We've got to understand the whole picture. Can't just take that one little piece of the puzzle and go, I know what it says. I'll guarantee you're wrong. But when you stick the part of Christmas in the picture of God's story, you see what he's saying. From the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Revelations, from a position of being in God's presence, fully trusting God, fully knowing God, being with God, to a place where we're able to be fully trusting God, being with God and knowing God. And somewhere out here in the middle is Christmas. God sends his Son, the Saviour of the world. God sends his Son, his chosen anointed one. God himself comes, the Lord God, as a baby. And because of that, we have great joy. So what does this joy do for us? Yep. You know, spring day is good, makes me feel good. Nice hair day on the top of the mountain is good. What does this joy do for us that God gives us at Christmas? Stability added security. The type of joy that we're talking about is joy that helps us understand and to know and to comprehend as humanly possible that we can what God has done for us. And in response to that, we sing praises and magnify and glorify his name. That's the sort of joy it is. It's a joy that overflows in recognition of, a joy that overflows in worship of, a joy that overflows in glorifying God our Father, our Lord, our King, our Saviour. I just want to read a psalm. Not 150 of them, just one. Not Psalm 119. If you've got your Bibles there, you want to follow through. I'm just going to read through Psalm 66. Psalm 66. and just sit and listen if you like. I think this is a heart that knows God. This is a heart that has experienced peace. This is a heart that's experienced love. It's a heart that overflows with joy. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. Come, come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for people. He made a dry path through the sea, and his people went across on foot. There we rejoiced in him, for by his great power he rules forever. He watches every moment of the nation. He watches every moment of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Now I come to your temple with burnt offerings to fulfill the vows I made to you. Yes, the sacred vows that I made when I was deep in trouble. That is why I'm sacrificing burnt offerings to you. The best of my rams as a pleasing aroma and a sacrifice of bulls and of male goats. Come, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. That's a heart, I think, that knows God. A heart that's been touched by God. A heart that's overflowing with joy for God. See what it's based on? It's based on what God has done, what God is doing, and what he believes God is going to do. Christmas forms part of that story for us. You know, if we were to extol God's praises, we would be I think we should include. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son, that you came among us. And then pick up a little bit on Easter, perhaps, that you were willing to die and be sacrificed in a place for my sins, that I could be restored to you. This Christmas, we've come to the manger, and we've come and considered God's love. Love that is intimate, as I said at the beginning. Love that is gracious and forgiving. Love that carries promise. Love that is faithful. Each week of Advent, we have focused on different aspects of the Christmas message. This Christmas, I trust you may experience and know the love which caused God to send his Son afresh. That you will know the hope which is founded on God's faithful promises. That you will know peace which enables you to draw close. Peace that restores. Peace that strengthens your trust in God. In the God who saves. And that you will know joy. Joy which comes from knowing God and receiving and resting in God. May you celebrate Christmas this year in a way that you fully or more fully understand God's grace, love and mercy that comes in the form of a baby boy born to be king, heralded as a saviour, heralded as the Messiah, heralded as the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day that we can come into your presence and give you thanks for all you have done, all you continue to do, and for all that you are going to do. Thank you that Christmas is a story of hope, Thank you that Christmas is a story of peace and love. And thank you that Christmas is a story of joy. Thank you, Father, that none of these depend on us, that they all find their root in you. May those things take root in our lives, that others might know the joy, the peace, the love, and hope that we have found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. For we ask this in his mighty name. Amen.